That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
God won't give you more than you can handle, right? That's what scripture says. God won't give you more than you can handle. Do you get that sometimes from people trying to be really helpful? Maybe you're the mom that has four kids under 4 years old and you've been burning the candle at both ends. You're totally exhausted and you call your friend to just hash it out and she says, you're going to be okay because God won't give you more than you can handle. Or maybe you're the woman who's got a husband who's less than stellar. He's far from God and this guy is unkind in pretty much every way possible. And you get the pat on the back and the encouragement from your friend, from the woman at Bible study that says, don't be afraid, it's okay because God won't give you more than you can handle. This is not just unhelpful and dismissive. This is categorically not the meaning of the verse this little saying seems to have come from. Now, before you start plotting to poison my coffee, hear me out because it's time for another edition of A Verse Taken Out of Context. And here's the great news for this one and every other verse we've talked about when it's taken out of context. The actual context, the real meaning of the verse, so much better, way, way, way better than this platitude that gets tossed out like a hand grenade into the sticky, tough, challenging situations of our lives by people who are really trying to help. Okay, we get the picture. What verse am I talking about? It's one that many Christians have memorized, quoted, maybe even turned into a kind of spiritual slogan. And that verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know it, you love it. Here it is. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Great verse, necessary verse. But like all of the verses we've investigated so far, its meaning is squeezed into a soundbite that completely distorts its power and its message. And even more troubling than that, it puts in place this false promise that we are inadvertently sometimes pinning on God in the process. When we paraphrase wrongly this verse and say, God will never give you more than you can handle, you are essentially providing a promise that God doesn't make. We are presenting this as if God promises we'll never be in a situation we can't manage. That this blanket promise that God's giving in this verse is that life's hardships won't exceed what we can bear on our own. Do you see the big issue here? If we're telling other people, if we're telling ourselves that this verse is promising that God won't overload us and that everything that comes into our lives will be stuff we can manage, and then stuff comes along that we can't manage, that does overwhelm us, that puts so much pressure on us that we can barely breathe, then we end up thinking, God isn't holding up his end of the bargain. Hey, God, I thought you said I'd never have anything happen that I couldn't deal with. But this thing in my life is huge and weighty, and I can't bear it. What's the deal? Where are you at? The reality is believers do suffer things beyond our ability. We have physical suffering. We face trials, affliction, the sin of this world, the sin of other people, but that's not what this verse is addressing primarily. So when someone's suffering and people say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle, it puts out this message of you're going to be fine. Just stay strong. Don't complain. And if you're overwhelmed, that's your problem. What you need to do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps, move on. Faith is figuring everything out yourself. When people claim that God never allows a believer to suffer more than they can handle, it actually ends up putting out this message of, hey, this is up to you. because God's not going to give you more than you can handle. So something's wrong on your end. And it downplays the real tragedies, the grief, the loss, those moments in life where we're absolutely under more than we can bear. And in those moments, what gives us hope is not strength in ourselves. It's God's strength. It's His presence. It's His grace. Now, if you do just a little bit of research and you find some commentaries that talk about this verse, guys like Matthew Henry, John Calvin, John MacArthur, you're going to see that Paul's context in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul is talking about resisting sin. These moments where sin tempts us, we have a promise about that temptation, that when sin is trying to draw us in and alluring us and tempting us, God is faithful. He is going to provide a way of escape from that sin, from that temptation, and He's going to sustain us in resisting the temptation. So the promise is you're never going to be in a situation or a temptation that you don't have a way out of. You're never trapped by that temptation, even though it might feel that way in the moment. God always gives us a way out. And that is the right and correct and faithful interpretation of this verse. And there's a balance going on here between a promise and a warning. Notice Paul doesn't say you won't be tempted. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. This promise in verse 13 actually comes after the warning of verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. This promise is not an excuse to be careless. This is a promise of God's faithfulness to preserve believers from ultimate ruin because of sin in the midst of temptation. So in context, we can be biblically faithful and say, this verse is actually an encouragement, but it's not an encouragement that God won't ever give us more than we can handle. It's encouragement to persevere in holiness when temptation comes, that we can resist sin and flee idolatry because God never leaves us with no way out. Okay, so fair question right about now that may be bouncing around in your head. How do I know that this is the right way to interpret this verse? Is Lib so smart or those commentary writer guys so smart that their way has to be it? No, no, no. You've got to be a good Berean here. You have to see what the verse actually says and what it means for yourself. Not what does it mean to you, but please do not take my word or any other commentary writer's word or any pastor or teacher's word without going to God's word to find out for yourself what it actually says. So let me give you some context here. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. This church is a big mess. They are morally compromised. They are smack in the middle of this idolatrous culture that has seeped into the church. The believers are being tempted by idol worship, by engaging with practices of the pagan world, food sacrificed to idols, for instance. They're being exposed to sexual immorality and abuses of Christian liberty. So we get to 1 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 through 11. Paul is reminding them of the history of Israel. These folks in the church at Corinth, they need to be reminded of what the history of the Israelites looked like. They had the same spiritual blessings as these new believers. They were delivered. They were redeemed. God kept rescuing them out, and yet they fell in the wilderness due to grumbling and sin. They were not immune just because they were God's people. And that's the warning here in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11. Paul is saying, hey, these folks, chosen people of God, they had seen blessing, yet they fell. So the Corinthian Christians are warned, just because you are saved, just because you are adopted by God into His family, doesn't mean you will never fall into temptation and sin. It means that you've got to remain vigilant. So temptation in this context means temptation to sin, not simply tragedy or physical suffering, although those trials may overlap. This word for temptation means temptation to sin. And then we get the encouragement from Paul that this is a commonality. except what is common to man. So the idea here is that the temptation that the Corinthians are facing, it's not unique. They are human temptations. Other people have faced them. It's common, it's typical, and it's not isolated only to them. Now listen, this should be a great comfort to your soul because you, what you're experiencing, the temptation you're experiencing right now is not something unique to you. And God is faithful. He is active in his promises. His nature is to be loyal to his covenant people. He's trustworthy. He is reliable. He keeps his covenant. And what he promises here is he will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. So he is going to give you a way of escape, an exit, a way out. So when we're tempted, God provides a path, a means, not to avoid the trial necessarily, but a means so that we don't succumb to sin. Escape isn't always the removal of suffering, but the escape is the escape from sin or the power to endure, as we see in this verse, so that you may be able to endure it. The goal is sustained faithfulness, not perfection, not sinlessness in practice. Only Jesus was sinless, but endurance. Spurgeon said it like this: if our temptations were such as none else had ever endured, and there were no way out of them, we might give up in despair, but it is not so. The Lord will not try us too much, too long, or too often. Grace will bear us through. So what does this escape hatch look like? Let's talk about that after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. This is the episode that squishes your toes. I think she does that just about every week, but certainly when she's talking about God not giving us more than we can handle, not actually in the Bible, is it? I think that probably stopped more than just a few people in their tracks, because we've all said it, haven't we? God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, sometimes he will, because that is not a promise of his in Scripture. That's why I appreciate what Libby is doing here every single week, because what she's doing is she's pointing out that Scripture, it's not giving you a pep talk. Paul wasn't talking about the weight of life. He was talking about the pull of sin, and it's a whole different kind of hope, isn't it? Because the truth is, life does hand us more than we can carry sometimes, but temptation, that's where God promises a way out. He doesn't tell you, you've got this. He says, I'll hold you through it. And that's a better promise than any cute slogan can give you. And again, that's what I love about Libby and what she's doing here on The Better Way. This is not a feel-good show. This is a truth show. And if it's been helping you think biblically about the things that we've gotten a little too casual with, if this kind of clarity that Libby's giving has helped you, don't miss what we're doing on Fortis Plus. It's totally free. Again, no signups, no paywalls, no hidden subscriptions, nothing like that. Just hundreds of hours of audio and video content freely available for you right now that we're adding to every single day. And you'll find more teaching from Libby and Dr. Tyson and Pastor Brad Bickney and Dr. John Krotz and Dr. Greg Gifford, people who are not afraid to correct bad theology with biblical hope. And you can download the app right now on your smartphone. You can download it on your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And if you value ministries that keep truth accessible and free, would you consider standing with us? We only exist because of our gospel partners, people who are giving so that others can learn and grow in God's word. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you have a margin where you could join us, continue this work, visit fortisinstitute.org right now and see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, let's get back to Libby Glossett now. She's going to continue to unpack what that way of escape really looks like. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
During the break, I was doing a quick search on the Fortis app for other resources on this subject, and I found what is probably my favorite 3-minute summary of this escape route we've been talking about today and how to locate it. Seriously, it's 3 minutes and 14 seconds. It's Todd Friel on Wretched, and he gives a great quick peek at this subject. So go check it out. Jump on the Fortis app, and in the search bar, just type temptation, and it will pop up. It's a video. Okay, so back to it. Today's verse taken out of context. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. We're taking Paul at his word here because Paul means what he says. There is temptation. God is faithful. There is a path of escape. There is strength to endure. Paul is not promising right here what we started out with today. The out of context short saying, God won't give you more than you can handle. He's not promising avoidance of suffering or trials or illness or loss. Paul is not promising that we will never face circumstances where we can't handle everything we're facing. There's going to be real grief in our lives and despair and suffering that feels overwhelming. But for sin, Paul is echoing the promise of God that God will provide a way to avoid the sin, to in the face of the sin and temptation, that God won't abandon us. He's going to give us the means to resist. Okay, so we got to bring it all together now. What does a faithful biblical application of this verse look like for us today? So we've seen what it says. Now, how do we live it out? How do we faithfully obey God's word? If you're one of those people who's been lobbing the cliche, God won't give you more than you can handle, and then citing 1 Corinthians 10:13 as a backup, do not panic. Don't grab your phone and start texting all your friends to apologize, and don't spend the next 3 Sundays tracking down every person at church that you might have said this to. You didn't know, and now you know. So moving forward, here's what you do. Trust that God is faithful. He keeps his covenants. He's trustworthy to his people. His promises are sure. So when temptation comes, none of that changes. He's not distant. He's active in providing help. Trust that no temptation we face is new or uniquely overwhelming in the sense that somebody else hasn't already faced this somewhere at some point. So you're not alone in your struggle. Trust that God actually does provide a way of escape right here, right now. It might be through prayer. It might be through reading his word. It might be through accountability to a fellow believer. It might be actually fleeing the situation and calling for help, which we'll talk about all that in just a minute. But he does provide something. And we can trust that endurance is possible because it rests in God's strength, not our own strength. Don't minimize sin's seriousness in the process of this, or let this verse become some kind of license for sin in light of God's grace. We all know Romans 6:1-2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? This grace is not permission to stay in the things that we were once enslaved to. We were once slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. Yes, grace is the heartbeat of the gospel. But Paul's not being harsh here. He's being clear. He's not minimizing grace. He's reminding us that grace doesn't give us a license to keep living the same old way. We're new creations with a new life. A life where sin no longer has the final word. We have a way out. We've died to sin, Paul says. That's not just poetic language. It means we don't belong to the old anymore. The cross didn't just rescue us from the punishment or the consequences of sin. It actually gives us freedom to obey. If we treat grace like some kind of a free pass to stay tangled up in sin, we're missing the point altogether. Sin is a big deal. Not because God is mean, but because sin separates, it distorts, it divides, it numbs us to the voice of our Father. And it's not the way God wants us to live. So we do have to take temptation seriously. We have to flee it. We have to resist it. Not presume God's grace and forgiveness. So we're not looking to downplay the seriousness of sin, but we are resting in the promise that in the moment of temptation, we have a way out. So what about right now, today, in the moment of the temptation that maybe you're facing right this second? We have to watch for warning signs. We can't get lazy because temptation is sneaky and sometimes it's gradual. Just like Paul warns in verse 12, let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So don't get overconfident in your ability to resist sin. Don't get prideful. Don't start making small compromises because you'll never give in to the big thing. God calls us to guard our hearts and be watchful. We have to be on guard because Satan is always lurking and waiting to pounce. Here's another thing. When you're tempted, if it's idolatry, if it's pride, if it's sexual temptation, if it's compromise to the world, whatever it is, don't think about it in a vague, general way. The more specific that you can be about the sin that you're facing, the temptation that you're facing, the more real the escape route can be. Now, a caveat here, I think I've mentioned this already, but just in case you didn't catch it before, the way of escape that we're talking about doesn't always mean that the temptation completely disappears. I've had many ladies sit across from me in the counseling room and say, I have prayed for a way out and my temptation is still there. Well, sometimes the way of escape that God gives us is the power to endure without giving in. Not that the temptation is totally gone. Now, sometimes the temptation will totally be removed, but other times it's literally you got to flee the situation. Think Joseph running out of Potiphar's house with Potiphar's wife hot on his heels. Joseph had to actually run out of the house. That was his escape. Maybe yours is shutting down your phone for an hour and picking up your Bible. Maybe you need to delete social media apps or just leave a room or ask for a brief pause from a conversation that's heading down the wrong road. Whatever it is, the way of escape is not a guarantee that the temptation will go away. It means that God is going to help you stay faithful to Him and endure in faithfulness. Sovereign Grace has this new song out that's called Run to Jesus, and the lyrics are just awesome. They say, run to Jesus, though the journey is long, though the night tarries on, your Redeemer is strong in your weakness. He will carry you through. He is faithful and true. He will make all things new. Run to Jesus. So do it, my friend. Run. Run to your Savior. Run in prayer. Run to the Word of God. Run to confess and repent. Run to worship Him. Okay, so I might be showing my age here. When temptation creeps up, phone a friend. I am well aware no one calls anyone anymore. All I'm saying is, rely on the believers that are around you because God often provides that escape route via other believers, maybe an accountability partner or a counselor, because we're not meant to face temptation alone. So run to Jesus first and then grab a friend to help you stand firm and refuse to compromise. Now, maybe right now you're in a trial or suffering that feels like more than you can bear. That's okay. Review the promises of God. Remember, the escape might not always be removal of affliction, but the way out of responding to the trial or suffering sinfully. When you share this verse with other people, please don't just quote it and don't misquote it, whatever you do. Help other people see this verse comes as a promise after a warning and help them see God's faithfulness. Walk alongside them. Get someone to walk alongside you in finding the escape and trust God with the endurance. So let me ask you this. What temptation or trial are you facing right now that you need God to provide the way of escape for? Do you believe He can and that He will? Maybe you've ignored some warning signs. Check your heart. What does this reveal about your heart that you're ignoring the warning signs? Are you responding in pride or self-reliance? Are you compromising in those little teeny ways, death by a thousand paper cuts? And then take a minute to identify a couple of women in your life that can help you in the area that you're facing temptation right now. There's people that God has placed around you to help you in this moment. Aren't you just so thankful for God's word? It's good. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a promise worth resting in, but only when we understand it rightly. God does not promise that we won't suffer, but he does promise that in the realm of temptation, of sins pulling at our hearts, he is faithful. He won't abandon us. He will never set a test that we can't endure with his help. And he will provide a way out, a way of escape. So now that you know the better way to think about 1 Corinthians 10:13, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.